Good morning. Little ones wanting to go to children's church, now's the time to make your escape. Good morning to you on Facebook Live. Thank you also for joining us. I'm going to go right to Scripture, and I'm going to do something a little different this morning. I hope you've brought your Bibles, because I'm not going to have them put it on the big screen. I want you to follow along in your Bibles. Is that okay this morning, friends? And if you don't happen to have a Bible, there's one in the pew, in the chair in front of you, underneath the chair in front of you, you can find one. We're going to go straight to Scripture, Matthew 25. Today is Memorial Stones, Part 7. I've taken us on this journey for a couple of reasons, mainly this Memorial Stones journey, to remember of the miracles and the blessings of God. And so today could be the last one, because we're now entering the Easter season, getting really, really close. But today is another miracle that God has blessed us, and I want you to know about this. Some of you do, some of you don't. But I want you to know about the blessings of God. I do not want us to forget the blessings of God. Amen? God is good. In spite of life that throws all kinds of things at us, God is good. And so, Memorial Stones, Part 7. But first, a little scripture, Matthew 25. If you got your Bibles, Matthew 25, there's a parable there beginning at verse 14 that I want to read, and I'll tell you why in a few minutes. Here we go. It's not going to be on the big screen, so I hope you got your Bibles ready. Let me say this too. If you don't happen to have a Bible, you let us know. We have one for you. We want you to have a Bible. We want you to be familiar with your Bible. We want you to be able to crack it open every day and find some truths of it. So if you don't happen to have one, we'll be glad to provide one for you. Matthew 25, starting at 14. This is another parable. Jesus told a lot of parables. A parable has a story that's got an earthly connection that the listeners can understand, but it's got a heavenly meaning. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and he delivered his goods to them. To one, the Bible says he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and immediately he, that's the man traveling, went to on his journey. Then the Bible says, he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and he made 5 more. And likewise, he who had received the 2 talents, 2 more also. But he who had received the 1 talent, Jesus says in this story, he dug in the ground and he hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received the 5 talents came, brought the 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now remember, this is a parable. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like. So keep that in mind too. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. 24. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seeds. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Jesus said in this story, his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed, so you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10, Jesus said in the story. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's the end of this story. There's a lot in this story, and I really don't have time to drill down on all aspects of the story, but let me say this about the story. God has given to us, followers of Jesus who put our faith in Christ, a talent or two or three or five to be used for him, for his glory, according to our ability. He has given us something. Are you still with me? He has given us all who have claimed the name of Jesus something to be used for him. It's like he said, he has given to us according to our own ability, and he leaves that with us to do something with until he comes back. I conclude from this story looking at verse 30 when it said, and cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I conclude from this story, it behooves us to use the gifts. Amen? It behooves us to use the gift that God has given to us. There's a lot more about this story, but I want to press on to the memorial stones, part 7. It was the spring of 2012. We had been in the Riverside Church for a few years. I told you how God had favored us and blessed us with that building. God had blessed us to the point that we were talking about a building addition. We had been in there 8 years. We had been praying about an addition. We had been talking about addition. Very, very tight. God had blessed us with activities and people, and we needed more room, and we'd been asking God for direction on the more room for a good while. We had, in fact, been communicating to the congregation of our needs, which they knew. They didn't have to be told. We had been communicating to them and praying and asking them to pray that God would show us the way forward if and when we were supposed to build another building. We had actually put a little bit of money away. God had blessed us that way, and we'd actually put a little away. That same time frame, we in this congregation had been introduced to our brother, Pastor Salek. Some of you met him this last summer. He stops to see us once every year, pretty much, sometimes twice. He was living in the U.S. at the time. He was pastoring a church in the U.S. at the time, and most of the congregation knew his story, how he had left his country because of persecution and death threats. Most everybody knew that story, knew some about him. We knew him as a pastor, as a friend, as a brother, as a co-laborer of Jesus Christ. because he had been here with us. In the spring of 2012, he sent me an email. I still have some of it. And he said, in essence, that God is calling me back to my country to tell the people of my country the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, he said in that email that he owned a home in the city in America that he was pastoring, but he owed more than the home was worth. And so, in essence, this email was asking me to ask our board for help getting back to his country to proclaim the good news of Jesus there. And I shall quote some of his letter. Here's what he said. Even though we need a lot more money than this to buy a home for the airfare and for the needs to get our family, but $70,000 will help us initially to make a down payment on the home and cover the airfare and some other expenses. I want to ask you and the board of your church that if it is possible for you to send a large gift of $50,000 or more this year so that we can make this move. I continue his quote. I hope you and your church leadership won't mind my audacity in making this request. This is a big amount. But I want you to know that this gift will be a great instrument in bringing forth a huge harvest of souls in the coming years in Pakistan, end quote. Some of you remember the letter because I shared part of it 11 years ago. Nearly everyone in the church family at that time knew who he was because he had been here. And nearly everyone in the congregation knew we were praying about a building expansion of our own. During that conversation of having that conversation with our own church family, we had agreed because we had given surveys, we had asked for input, and we had agreed we would not start the building project till we had at least 50% on hand. We weren't sure the magnitude of the project. We knew it could be somewhere between $500,000 and $1 million, and we were going to have half on hand before we ever started. And I got this email. So I called Brother Salek. And I was thinking that if he'd asked for $5,000 instead of $50,000, that would have been quite a bit. So I called him and I asked him, and I said, Brother Salek, I got your email. And I said, before I go to the board and the congregation with this request, they will think I have lost my mind. Before I go there, I just wanted to ask you some questions about that. I said, tell me a little bit more about this. And he shared that God had made it clear to him and his family he was to leave the church he was pastoring, leave America, go back in essence to the lion's den, and proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ there, regardless of the dangers that were there. I said to him, you know, we're not that big a congregation. He'd been here several times. Now he said, I know that. I said to him, you know that we are in fact thinking about our own building project because we're out of room. Yep, he said, I know that too. And I said to him, how is it then that you come up with this figure of $50,000 for the church at Motley to help you get back to where the Lord has called you? And what he told me that day has never left my mind. He said, the Lord gave me that figure to ask you and your people for that figure. I said, okay, that's good enough for me. I said, I'm going to pray about this, and I'm going to talk to our board, and then we're going to see how the Lord moves. Most of you know that every morning I start my day with a walk and a talk with the Lord. I go out and walk for 30 minutes, and I pray. And a few days later, I was out on my walk. I remember exactly where I was on this morning when I'm praying and asking God, what am I supposed to do with this? And I know I've told you this before, and some people have told you also before, and you've probably read it before. People say, well, God don't speak to us today in audible voices. Well, I assure you, God speaks to us in ways through His Word, through His Spirit, and to our heart that we are clear it is from God. And I know exactly where I was on that road that morning, and I know exactly what I said, and I know exactly what he said. I said, what am I supposed to do with this? And the voice that I heard to my spirit and my heart was crystal clear. He might as well have been walking right there on the road with me. It was crystal clear. He said, whose money do you think that is anyway? I said, okay. And I said this out loud. Neighbors weren't awake yet, so I knew they wouldn't think I lost my mind. I said, okay, Lord, I'm listening. And I kept walking and I kept praying. And then he said to me this. This stung a bit. He said, you have buried your talent. I said, Lord, I'm still listening. You tell me what you want me to do. Now, some of you that were here a while ago remember the Memorial Stone series four, I think, when I talked about how God had allowed me to come out of the plant into the church. We received that grant from the Free Methodist Church in two parts. We received that $25,000. Some of you remember that part of the Memorial Stone series, do you not? You remember that? Two churches in all of America, Motley Free Methodist was one of them, that got $25,000 grant from the denomination. That money was still in the bank. We didn't need it. God had blessed us when we moved in, and I left the plant, and God took care of us. And that money went in the bank, and it was still sitting there, as well as a smallish savings that we were putting together in preparation for a building fund. And when God said to me, you have buried your talent, this story from Matthew came to my mind, and I thought, that's not good for the guy that buried the talent. I know the story. I kept walking and I kept praying. And the Lord then said this to me. He said, first, whose money do you think that is anyway? Second, he said, you have buried your talent. And the third thing he said to me was crystal clear. Are you going to trust me or are you going to trust your pocketbook? That's what he said to me. And I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you. And I finished my walk that morning and my talk and my listening. And I called the Board of Administration together. And I told them the whole story. I showed them the email. reminded them what we had in savings. That $25,000 was in a savings account by itself. We had about $45,000 more in preparations for a $750,000. We didn't go very far in a building fund, but we had a little to start with. And I laid that all out to the board again, and I told them exactly what Salek said. And then I told them what God said. And I said, with your permission, I'm going to preach from Matthew 25 to the congregation. And when I'm done with what God told me and what Salek has asked for, my intent is to hand every person here that day a piece of paper and write simply, yes, we give him the money, or no, we don't. Yes or no, that's all I'm planning to do. They said, okay. And so this late 2012 morning, spring morning, I proclaimed to them the Matthew 25 passage that I just read to you. I told them Salek's request. I told them what God had said to me, and I emphasized on more than one occasion what he spoke to my heart, and I challenged them the same way. Are we going to trust our checkbook, or are we going to trust the living God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? And we passed out the paper. We were doing two services over there. And so we gathered up the papers after the first one, put them in my office over there, never counted them, did the same thing for the second service, and had them gathered up. And Sandy Korak, who was our treasurer and a very, very dear friend of mine, and on the board, gathered them up, and she and somebody else counted them. The services were both over. Most people had gone. She brought me the tally, and she said, here's the tally, Jim. 167 yes, and 5 no. The Lord had spoken through the congregation, send him the money, pretty much wipe us out. I don't mind telling you again, I cried again and said, thank you, Lord, because you've spoken. I don't know what you're going to do about our building fund, and I'm not going to be worried about that because we're just about to give it all away. During that summer, Sandy, as our treasurer, sent that $50,000 to that brother and more, because others that were there that day heard the story and said, I want in on this too, and they wrote out checks too. I don't have time to tell you about what's happening there because of that. And I'm telling you this, it is miraculous what's happening through that brother in that ministry. I saw a video again just yesterday. Tens of thousands were at a crusade this week, and tens of thousands came to Christ this week in that ministry. Glory to God. Miracles upon miracles have happened there in that ministry. I don't have time to tell you about them. But I will tell you this, that wiped out pretty well our building fund. Within weeks, now here, stay with me because I'm about to get to some miracles. Remember the memorial stones? That's what this is all about, remembering God's goodness. Within weeks of after we sent the check, a businessman from the region called me and asked if he could come see me. This man had never been to our church. I knew him. I knew his family. But he had never been here to worship with us. I said, I'm going home for lunch at such and such a time. You come on over. We'll visit. I'll hear you what's on your mind. So I'm at home sitting there. Sherry is graciously fed me, and he comes by, and he said, Jim, I see what God is doing there in Motley in your church. It isn't my church, it's God's. I just happened to be the shepherd at the time. But he said, Jim, I see what God is doing there in your church. And I've also heard that perhaps you guys are full and need to build and perhaps are thinking about a building project. And I said, yes. I didn't tell him a thing about, well, we just gave it all away, so that's out the window. I didn't tell him a thing about that. I said, yes, we have been praying about this for some time, and I don't know how or when the Lord will lead, but we still need some room. He knew nothing about the vote. He knew nothing about the check that got sent. And the next thing he said to me was this. Jim, I support some ministries that I watch on TV, and I figure it's time to help locally rather than someplace else. I'm going to pledge to your building fund $50,000. That don't happen by accident, brothers and sisters. Memorial stones. Don't forget God said to Joshua when he said, take up them stones and build that altar over there. And when your children ask what them stones are about, you tell them what God has done. He said, I want to pledge to your building fund $50,000. I nearly cried. I just simply said, thank you. And I said, thank you, Lord. I told the BOA, the Board of Administration, I said, you're not going to believe this, but God has just replaced the $50,000 we just sent. That was somewhere around 1st of September, mid-September, just weeks after we sent the check. On the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we're over there in the other building. We're having two services. So this was about 2 months after I had just been told by that man, I want to pledge $50,000 to your building fund. About 2 months later, we're doing our pre-Thanksgiving services over there. I'm sitting in the front row. I'm resting. I'm kind of catching my breath, getting ready for the second service, when a lady who had been part of our summertime congregation a little bit for a couple of years because she had a home, she did have, it's now sold, down here on the Crow Wing. She would be here a little bit in the summertime and back to Florida the rest of her year. She walked up to me in that front pew and she literally hands me a piece of paper that was ripped from a brown grocery bag. Chris, do you remember that? I wish I'd have saved that one too. She handed me a brown piece of paper that she tore from a paper grocery bag, and on it she had written her name and said, I, her name, pledge to your building fund $50,000. She hadn't been here when we had the vote. She hadn't got to Minnesota for the summer at that point. She didn't know about the check that got sent for $50,000. She didn't know about the other man that came to my house 2 months earlier and said, I want to pledge $50,000. She didn't know any of that, but God did. And she handed me that brown piece of paper and said on it, I and her name pledge to the Motley Free Methodist Church Building Fund $50,000. And I cried again and said, thank you, Lord, because you've been in it all along. God had just doubled what we gave away. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? We serve a big God. And I remembered what he said to me on that road that morning. Are you going to trust me? Or are you going to trust your pocketbook? I can stand before you this morning and I say with 100% certainty, Had we not given that brother that asked for that amount, I can say to you, I'm convinced this wouldn't have happened. Either one of them. That was 2012. In 2013, we got our architectural drawings in order, did some other fundraising events where much smaller amounts were coming in, but there was some coming in. We purchased the permits. We got a general contractor lined it up in 2014. A whole bunch of us made a circle right back there. There used to be a parking lot. We joined hands right back there, a big circle of us, a lot of us. Some of you were there in that circle that day, and we prayed and we cried out to God, thank you for your blessings. You lead, and we'll do what you want. And we prayed for a new building right over there, right behind us here in a big circle. And in 2014, this building that we're sitting in was built. God had graciously provided us with the 50% we needed to get started, and we were building. And we moved into this sanctuary on Christmas Eve 2014. Some of you were here that night. It was packed. We had to bring in extra chairs to accommodate the crowd that night. Glory to God. In the meantime, I had done a lot of paperwork. We had secured a loan from the Free Methodist Foundation for the amount that we didn't have on hand. We planned to have a 20-year mortgage, and we planned on paying that off as we could. We didn't want to be straddled with too large a house payments because we wanted to continue to bless others in ministry. That's just what we want to do. We didn't want to take everything and turn it over to a house payment. So we had a house payment, and we had worked with them to do what we had to do. And about the time we moved in, as a matter of fact, it was a matter of mere weeks. We hadn't started paying the house payments yet. That was to come about 6 weeks after we moved in. But about the time we moved in, and just prior to us having to pay the first house payment back, I got another call. And this friend and his wife called me to their place, and I got out there to their place, and they pushed a check across the desk towards me. And I turned the check over, it was $100,000. I wanted to keep and frame it. But that wouldn't have done us much good. Not to mention I was to keep it anonymous. You see, friends, God had challenged us, and he spoke to my heart on that dirt road that morning and said, are you going to trust me or are you going to trust your pocketbook? And I said, we're going to trust you. And there were some other gifts, none of them to this magnitude. There were some other gifts that made this building possible. But those four gifts of $50,000 each were exactly what we gave away to get that brother to do ministry where he's doing it, and God has blessed him tremendously. We had the loan. We started making payments. And there's a lot more details, but time is up, so I need to quit. I need to bring it all together. The building cost $750,000. We never wanted to be overly fancy. We wanted to be functional. We wanted to be good stewards of what people had tithed and blessed us with, and we wanted to be good stewards of what God had given us. So the building that you're sitting in cost about $750,000. We had a 20-year loan. 22 months into paying on that 20-year loan. 22 months, I had a little table sitting right here somewhere, and a shredder a paper shredder sitting on top of it. 22 months into the 20-year loan, we shredded the mortgage. It was paid off in 22 months. God gets the glory for all of that. I just want us to be reminded that we serve a God that owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And I just want to remind us that when God has blessed us with something, He expects us to use it for His glory. Remember the story? He blessed them according to their abilities. And when He blesses you according, or me, or the next person, according to your ability or mind, it behooves us to trust Him and use it for His glory and watch what He does with it. The reason I have done this series is to remind us God is good. And God has done miracles here. I've told you a few. But God has done miracles here, and I want us never to forget that. I hope long after I'm gone, we haven't forgot the miracles that God has blessed us with in these last 20 years. And so as I close this series, and today we're going to sing this last song. You gals can come get ready to sing this song, lead us. May we always praise Him for His goodness. And may I remind us again, may we never bury our talent. You can read the story again in Matthew 25 and be reminded of what happened to the one that buried his talent. May we never bury our talent. May we never bury what God has done for us. And so I just want to say in conclusion to this Memorial Stone series, friends, I just want to say to close, if you're watching online today or if you happen to be standing here this morning and you've never trusted Him, He can be trusted. The Lord can be trusted. And if you've never trusted the Lord completely, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ completely, please don't delay. Eternity depends on what you do with Jesus. He can be trusted in the little things as well as the large things in life. I've tried to prove that to you in this Memorial Stones series. He can be trusted. And I know everything doesn't go just the way we plan sometimes, but He can be trusted anyway. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank You. You have shown Yourself gracious and merciful and loving and abundant over and over and over to us here. Thank You for Your abundant blessings. Thank You for Your blessings and Your protection on us in America. Thank You, Father, for Your goodness. We praise You this day again. Father, I just pray that if anybody is listening today and they haven't trusted Christ as Lord for themselves personally, I pray that they would this Easter season before it's too late. Oh, Lord, I pray that You would help us to always trust in You. You know best. You have our best interest in mind. And so I pray that we would trust You completely and always. Go with each one here that's here this morning and watching online into this week, trusting You completely, trusting You for our next breath, trusting You for the next mountain that seems insurmountable right in front of us, trusting You for everything. Father, thank You for Your blessings. Go with us now this day into this week, trusting completely in you, the living God, and Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. I pray in his name. Amen.